News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Now, my next guest this morning had the world of Gaelic football at his feet. He played minor and under 21 for Dublin. He'd been called up into Jim Gavin's senior squad before being forced to take a break from the game due to his experiences with depression. Shane Carthy has now written about his experiences in a fantastic blog post. It is well worth a read. We've shared the link to it on our Twitter feed at BreakfastNT. If you haven't had the chance to read it yet, please do so now. Shane is with us in studio. Shane, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy
morning.
New Year, I should say.
And the same to you.
Like I said, look, it is an incredible read. I really mean that. We might start by going back, I suppose, to your early life and your early introduction to sport, because I'm sure this is important, because, you know, your experiences with sport are kind of intertwined with your experiences with depression.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you said, as from a young age, I was involved in many sports. I have three older sisters who were the same. My mum and dad were very much a thing of, you know, throw us into any sport and see how we go. And I was lucky enough to be relatively talented at most sports. I threw my hand at Gaelic football being one of them, and it was just a great kind of mechanism for me to kind of evolve as a youngster and kind of become intertwined into the community and make friends and stuff like that.
And that community was out in North Dublin, in Portmarnock.
In Portmarnock, yeah.
How early then did you start making development squads, as they would have been?
Would have started in a smaller context at under 12s. So we would have been at that time, it would have been North Dublin, South Dublin and West Dublin. But, you know, at that stage, it was the biggest thing. You know, you put on that Dublin jersey for the first time, regardless of whether it's an Easter tournament under 12s or senior football. It's a massive thing and something that I always aspire to, and lucky enough was able to begin that journey so early on.
Now, I know sometimes when people talk about their experiences of mental health, they kind of look back and they think, you know what, actually there was something that wasn't right there for a long time and I didn't know what it was. But from reading your post during those early years, there was nothing really an issue. You kind of, as I said, you had the world at your feet. It wasn't until you kind of got closer to minor level. Was that it? When you felt things started to kind of unravel?
Yeah, and that was the thing. All the way up until from under 12s to under 16s, I was in the midst of kind of, you know, development through school and sport and everything. And I never had any issues. I had, you know, as everyone does, you know, certain bad days or anything like that, but nothing to the extent of what it once was, you know, when I kind of developed into that kind of minor football grade, and things then started to happen for me in that regard.
So what was it then when you were, I think you were saying, when you were in about fifth year and you were on the minor panel? This is your second year, I think, on a minor panel. You had lost to Tip, that All-Ireland, people remember Tip winning that minor All-Ireland.
Yeah.
but you had a chance to regain it the following year, and that's when you first felt the first kind of pangs of depression. Was that it?
Yeah, it was very much so that in my first year of minor football, I began in fourth year, that kind of progression, and as I said, you know, coming into second year minor, that's when I first felt the bad days were kind of becoming more and more difficult to deal with. And at the start, I was so naive in thinking that it was just hormonal changes going on in my body. So I didn't really take much notice to it. And I suppose at that stage, what I didn't know was the start of a long journey of depression for me. So,
and when you say those hard days were getting harder to deal with, can you describe maybe that what that was like? Or was it that they were, the day was getting worse, or there was more of them, or they lasted longer?
They seemed to, it was a bit of everything. It just seemed to last kind of longer. I got up in the morning and I may have had a fantastic day of, you know, hanging out with my friends, or I played a good match, or, you know, trained away and you know, got all that kind of stuff behind me, and I started the next day, and I just began to kind of have this low ebb and, you know, feeling of, I don't really want to attack this day, I don't really want to, you know, go about things. And to me, that was very confusing, because, like, I had all these exciting things in my life. I had the Dublin career going relatively okay at that stage, and my friends around me, and you know, a lot of good things. But inside, I wasn't quite looking forward to it, and I couldn't make sense of it. It was a cloudiness in my head that I couldn't unravel, and I couldn't, you know, describe to anyone at that stage.
And was it something that even in those early days that you ever spoke to anyone about?
No, it was very much a case of I've spoken about it in my blog about that I felt like I had to put up this mask because I was so fortunate to have what it looked like from the outside looking in, the idyllic life, that if I then had said to one of my friends or my family that, you know, I was struggling, they'd be like, what are you talking about? How would you be struggling? You've everything going for you, you know, just get on with it. So for me, it was very much putting up that mask and that poker face and just kind of, you know, putting on a brave face and just getting on with the day and hoping that it would, you know, gradually get better as it went along.
And while all this was happening and it was gradually getting worse, it wasn't getting better, was football a release? You seem to write about how it was a release, but I'm kind of struck as well that there came a point where football as well began to really feel like there was a huge amount of pressure because of it on you. So I just wonder now, looking back, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, at the start, it was a huge coping mechanism for me. You know, for anyone, regardless of if it's football, if it's running, if it's tennis, or whatever sport you may play, you know, you get those feelings of, you know, the happy endorphins that you get from post exercise. And at the start, that was my coping mechanism. You know, it gave me a little boost for a couple of days or maybe a couple of weeks, and I kind of continued along that trend. But unfortunately, as my progression through depression went on, my thoughts worsened and it was becoming more and more difficult to solely rely on that as a coping mechanism itself.
During this time, was sport the only thing that was going normally for you, put it that way? You know, when you compare it then to relationships with family and friends and time in school?
No, see, that was the thing as well. You know, I've three older sisters and a mum and dad who very much support me in everything I do, with you know, a lot of friends around the community and wider community as well through Gaelic, that everything was going well. But I was getting more frustrated at myself that none of this was making sense to me. How am I feeling this way each day when all of these things look like, you know, it's the idyllic life that I'm living here?
So now you write in your blog as well about how, you know, as these thoughts began to build up, I suppose you began to think about, you know, taking the ultimate way out. What was it though that, you know, you had a trip to your sister as well, I know, in Stockholm, who you were telling us before, you know, is still over there and you still visit her. But it was around this time that everything completely unraveled. What exactly happened?
Yeah, so it was kind of the whole lead up to it was coming up to about a year and a half, almost 2 years coping with it on my own. And I had started to build up the courage to say something to my mum and dad come the January time. Unfortunately, at that stage, at the end of the month in January, I was met with the news that my granddad had passed away. So that kind of took me back in terms of, you know, I was going through a difficult time, but I really didn't want to be an added burden to my family, you know. So I kind of took a step back from that and just, you know, the funeral came and went, and again I started to build up the courage again to maybe say something to my mother and father again. Unfortunately, 6 weeks, 6 weeks later, my granny had passed away, on my mother's side as well. So for my mom especially, and just my family in general, for such a huge loss, that I felt like nothing that I was going through could ever compare to what they're really feeling at this stage. So it kind of took a back seat, and unfortunately, the thoughts ever worsened, that I was getting these thoughts of, you know, maybe everything would be better if I just kind of ended it all here and now.
Ultimately, obviously, that didn't happen. And you tell a story about this match that you were going to play, and texting your sister, and just the unbelievable pressure you felt under to not play the match that you didn't want to, that you were being forced to. Ultimately, you had a panic attack in the wake of that, and you woke up the next day in a psychiatric unit.
Yeah. So as you said, that Leinster final had come and gone, and that was a huge kind of, you know, landmark in my story, that, you know, it was the contrast of, I was on a high after winning the Leinster final. I was fortunate enough to get man the match at that stage, and a couple of weeks had passed.
And you've been texting your sister on the bus to the game saying, I'm not playing it, like, I'm going to get out of this.
Yeah, the whole day, even just to ring you back, even in that morning, my mum had met me in a sorrow of tears in the sitting room. Again, as much like the previous 2 years, I couldn't make sense of why I was feeling like this, and she needed to get me out of the house. She wanted me to kind of distract myself for the day, because that Leinster final was coming up that evening. So she had texted my middle sister, Maria, to, you know, bring me out and, you know, get out of the house and just try to distract myself for at least a couple of hours. And as you do on a Leinster final day, you go up to hiking in the mountains in Howth. So, and then it materialized then, you know, came back and the thoughts ever worse. And then I had that kind of conversation in my head. Will I just ring Desi Farrell, who's my manager at the time, and just to say, listen, I can't do this anymore. I really can't face going out in front of that crowd and representing Dublin. And that was a huge thing for me, because those previous 2 years, that was all I knew. That was how I coped.
Yeah.
And for me to even have that conversation and say, this isn't even working for me anymore, was a huge kind of, you know, warning sign in my life that, you know, this is really coming to a fore here. But you know, it was one of those things, and fortunately or unfortunately, I didn't make that phone call, and I went ahead and as you said, fortunate enough to go on and play that match and play relatively well and be successful in that match.
Yeah, and then look, Desi as well is a man who's had his own experience with depression, and I know you spoke to him about it. But as I said, you know, this panic attack meant you ended up waking up the next day, I think, wasn't it? You passed out completely, yeah. And you woke up the next day in a psychiatric unit, and that was really the start of recovery, wasn't it?
Exactly. So yeah. So what happened was that there was a couple of weeks after the Leinster final, and we're actually preparing for the All Ireland semi final at this stage. And my mum and dad had known what was going on with me at this stage. So my dad didn't want me driving to this training session on my own. Said, look, I'll bring you over, and there's no problem doing that. So we went through the session fine, and in between we had a meeting in Castleknock Hotel, and from DCU to Castleknock Hotel, I felt just a rush of blood, kind of, you know, my heart rate started picking up. I was flustered the whole lot. My dad was asking me what was wrong, and I'd asked him to pull over at the side of the road, and it then materialized into, as you said, having a panic attack. And the next day I woke up in St. Patrick's mental hospital, and that was the start of, you know, start of my recovery.
Yeah, and look, and that recovery, look, has led to you speaking like this about it and sharing your story, which I know is a huge help to people. Before I let you go, how are you doing now?
Great. I've recently actually graduated from DCU.
Oh, congrats.
Went and studied sports science. So I'm in the middle of my year out, and that was the whole reason of bringing out the blog. And I'm hoping to set up a couple of events this year before I go back and do a master's. So just trying to busy myself with that, and the huge thing of trying to get my message out there and you know, hopefully strike a chord with a few people.
Well, look, Shane Carty, thanks a million for speaking to us this morning. Really powerful story. As I said, people can read it in more detail. Shane's blog post, we've put a link to it up on our Twitter page at BreakfastNT. Pat Kenny is with us in studio. Pat, what's coming up?
Good morning. I've been fascinated, Shane, by your story. Absolutely. You're terrific. You're absolutely great.